I'm Vernon Joins, and for the next few moments, we're going to be discussing exposing religious error. There are those, even in the church, who do not want error exposed. We do not believe in debating, they say, just an excuse. But Jesus even engaged in spiritual confrontation with the Pharisees, the lawyers, the Sadducees, the Herodians. Read Matthew 22 and Mark 12. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 25:9, debate thy cause with thy neighbor. In Jude 3, we are commanded as Christians to contend earnestly for the faith. Paul was set for a defense of the gospel, Philippians 1 and verse 17. We must be of the same disposition. In several New Testament books, false teachers are called by name. And this is something that many people do not want to do today. I wonder why. And they often the specific error is identified, and it is rebuked after that. Not just pointing it out, but rebuking it. How can we obey 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and not expose that which is not true? He said, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. The Lord commended the church in Ephesus for making some who claimed to be apostles, exposing them as false in Revelation 2, verse 2. Today, some of our sophisticated brethren evidently want their neighbors to go to hell in a good humor rather than pointing out their mistakes so they can be saved. Nothing short of truth can redeem us, John 8:32, and make us free. The story of New Testament Christianity would have been different if Christ and the apostles had been as reluctant as many of us are. The inroads of Judaism and Gnosticism would have overwhelmed the church of the first century if some of the modern philosophy had replaced the firm, courageous stand the Bible reveals. Here is the soft line we face. Just preach positively and error will die. Again, love will get the job done. And again, don't point out mistakes publicly. And again, truth is not absolute anyway. And another, exposing error is no longer relevant. I wonder what changed the truth, don't you? I'm so glad that faithful preachers in both Old and New Testaments knew better than to surrender to such silly language as this. It is true that Micaiah and Jeremiah and Amos had their opponents, 1 Kings 22, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9, just as did John the Immerser and Stephen about 1900 years ago. Some people could have lived longer through compromise, but they chose to live better as men of purpose and conviction. As Acts 4 and verse 20 and 5 and 39 tells us, they could only obey God no matter what the people said, even if what they stated landed them in jail. Didn't make that much difference as long as they taught the truth. Today, there is definite spirit of indifference, apathy, and unconcern in our midst. Paul's warning of perverting the gospel, Galatians 1, 6 through 9, means little to folk filled with cowardice. As they use the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6:17, those of us who do believe and thus must speak, 2 Corinthians 4:13, must not be persuaded to join the non-combative soldiers of Christ, who are so entangled with the world, 2 Timothy 2:4, that do not want their friends exposed to the searchlight of truth. Now, if we care anything at all for purity and doctrine and lie, we will buckle on the panoply of righteousness and fight the good fight of faith, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. Where would the church be today if valiant soldiers in God's army had not manifested the backbone to stand up and speak out and demolish the hellish doctrines of evil and error in that first century. May God help us to raise up in this generation defenders of the faith, who will cause the demons in hell to tremble. For many false teachers have already gone out into the world. 1 John 4 and verse 1.